Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
On the outside, Mo Isom appeared to have it all. She grew up in a Christian family. She was beautiful, energetic, and successful. She was an All-American goalkeeper for Louisiana State University and the first female to try out for an SEC Division I men's football team. She was even crowned LSU's homecoming queen. But on the inside, she was forced to grapple through intense loss, an eating disorder, and a horrific car accident. As she tried and failed to control her own life, she rediscovered who was really in charge all along. And today, she travels the country and beyond, sharing her remarkable story and how it led her back to Jesus. A story that Mo has detailed in her book called Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. And Mo, it's an honor to have you here today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
If we press the rewind button to the beginning of your story, you were raised in a faith-based home, right? With Christian parents. And how would you describe your faith growing up?
Right. Yeah. I kind of like to refer to it as a faith by inheritance, which means really, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, wonderful parents who worked really hard to instill in me what it meant to be a godly woman. But, you know, at the time, it was sort of this, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christians. You know, I go to church because my parents go to church and we're in Bible study and FCA, and kind of assuming that my seat in a church pew was earning me a seat in heaven. You know, I live in the Bible Belt. And so to show up and to do this whole religion thing in my mind was just, you know, kind of expected.
And so no
malice towards it, no deep struggle with it, just kind of a numbness to going through the motions, to knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God, and seeing that other people seemed to grasp it a little differently than I did, but just kind of brushing it off as them being maybe a little bit more passionate. So I grew up in an amazing Christian home, but I was just, you know, a stubborn young kid, and really very much kind of had God in a box and church on a checklist and a cross on my necklace and figured that was good enough.
I think there's many of us who can identify with a similar experience to that. Alongside the stubbornness that you mentioned, were you an athletic prodigy from the very start as well? Did that show up pretty much right away?
You know, since I was about 7 inches taller than everybody around me, that athletic prowess kind of found its place quickly. I played a bunch of different sports when I was younger, but soccer was really my love and quickly, and I excelled, especially in the goalkeeper position, just because of my height and my size, and you got to be kind of crazy to be a goalkeeper, and I had a few screws loose, so it worked well. But yeah, I grew up playing the sport and really just playing at a tremendous level. I mean, in with the Olympic program, just traveling around the country and then internationally, and it was pretty phenomenal and opened a lot of amazing doors. And you know, my sights were set on it, certainly opening doors for college as well.
So tell us a little bit about that path to LSU and your soccer stardom there. What, that was your dream from an early age? You knew, was it the school specifically, or just, I know that I want to be at a very good school for soccer?
I knew that I wanted to get a college scholarship. So I had overheard my neighbor talk about his college scholarship when I was like 9 years old, and he was headed off to school. He was an incredible soccer player. And I didn't exactly know what that meant, but I knew that it was essentially a chance to go to college for free. And so I told my parents at that time when I was young, I don't even write about this in the book. You're asking the good questions. I told my parents when I was young that if they would support me in, you know, getting to tournaments, paying through youth soccer, it's expensive to play a sport really competitively.
Yeah.
If they could support me through that, then I would get a college scholarship and they wouldn't have to worry about college. So I said that when I was 9 years old, and
wow.
I held on to that really tightly until I got a college scholarship. I actually wasn't even really interested in LSU. I had trained with their goalkeeper coach in the Olympic program for a while and, you know, just kind of decided to go on a visit because they were pursuing me so heavily. You get to read about in the book what happened when I actually stepped out of the car onto LSU's campus that kind of made every other school irrelevant. So I wasn't planning on LSU. It kind of came out of nowhere, but it was a huge blessing in disguise.
Mo Isom is with us, the speaker, the blogger, the All-American soccer star, and author of Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. Because of the kindness of her publisher, we do have multiple copies of the book to give away. And if you're fascinated by Mo and her bold testimony, you can head to myfaithradio.com and just look for On the Road to send us a note and say, hey, I'd love to be in the drawing for that book. You've alluded to it just a couple times here already, Mo, but you detail your need for control in the book. How did that start showing up in your life, and specifically, what role did it play in situations like your eating disorder?
Yeah, so I was, as you could probably tell from earlier questions, I was just a driven young girl, and there were a lot of things that I really wanted to determine how successful I would be in those endeavors. I mean, you make a promise to get a college scholarship at 9 years old, you kind of got to back up your words there. And so I desperately kind of wanted to control a lot of different avenues of my life, whether it was athletically, whether it was in the entertainment industry. I was doing some radio and some acting and some modeling at that time, whether it was with friends in relationships, you know, how I wanted things to play out socially in school. There were all these things that I wanted to control. And very quickly realized I didn't have much control over them at all. You know, the soccer was going well, but not perfectly. And everything else seemed to also kind of be slipping away during my high school years and just not playing out how I kind of thought I could perfectly map it. You know, my anthem was kind of, God, I believe that you're real and that's all fine and good, but watch me work. Watch what I do. Watch what I can produce, you know, in my own strength and my own abilities. And quickly realized I didn't have as much control as I thought I could. And the enemy found me in that place, kind of desperate for something to be my identity, something to be my thing. And just met me with a lot of lies about control, my own strength, my abilities, about what I could control, which at that time in my mind was my body. I mean, athletically here and in modeling and acting and pageants, I want to be successful here too. It seemed like all these things I wanted to control kind of circulated around my body. And so the enemy said, it's yours. Do with it what you please. Take control of it. And that really led me into a pretty vicious eating disorder that kind of just get really raw and honest about in the book about what that looks like. And it was debilitating. You know, it was several years of dealing with this all through high school. Not only bulimia kind of evolved into anorexia, which kind of evolved into a combination of the two disorders where I was just obsessive and started abusing, you know, energy pills, diet pills, working out 6, 7, 8 hours a day. I mean, I was just fixated on these control issues, and that's kind of how we get, isn't it? You know, we want something so badly, we're willing to sacrifice anything. And a lot of the times that's our health and our well-being and our spiritual stability and our mental stability. And I just really got caught up in a lot of that, trying to achieve these goals that I had set for myself.
Oh, you're so right. And of course, it manifests for each of us in a different way. Most of us, not 8 hours in the gym every day, but certainly the things that we want to control, the ideas that we think we know better than God. I think we can certainly all identify with what you're saying there. Of course, your book has the provoking title, Wreck My Life. And this was not the end of the struggles that you would go through, even at this youthful point in your life. How did you know that God had, in your words, wrecked your life, and what was that process like to walk through?
Well, you know, Wreck My Life really became kind of this desperate prayer after a tremendous amount of adversity. So I had struggled with the eating disorder for several years, kind of tried to surrender that and crawl back into this new faith that needed to be my own, and seen some amazing blessings, which made me think, oh, this must be what Christianity is. I give God the glory and he rains down the blessings, you know, and that kind of that skewed perspective as well. And moved with that for a while. And then after my freshman year of soccer, very unexpectedly and horrifically lost my dad to suicide and just took off running from God, ran into depression, anxiety, promiscuity, I mean, identity crisis, and just seeking any sin-sized piece to fill the God-sized hole in my heart. And, you know, after about a year of just intense struggle, the cry of my heart was kind of this desperate understanding of why my dad did what he did and seeing it as a viable option for myself. I was so broken, hurting so deeply, such a lack of identity and understanding who I was, what God said about me, such a gaping hole in my heart from the loss of my earthly father, that I just said, God, you know what? Wreck my life. Like I'm so resentful, so angry, so hate-filled, so tired. Just do what you have to do, God. You know, just wreck it, just end it. And, you know, he answered quite literally. If you dive into the book, I was actually headed home for Thanksgiving break about a year after losing my dad, and ended up losing control of my Jeep, flipping it 3 times, landing upside down in a ravine at 1:30 in the morning, completely physically broken. Having cried, you know, the cry of my heart being, God, just wreck my life. And he said, I'll wreck it, but I'll wreck it to save it. And to save your eternal story. And he just met me. The Holy Spirit met me in that wreckage of that car. In a way, I it's hard for me to even find words in the book to describe it fully. It was incredible. And the depths of the gospel was just downloaded into my heart. And I was reminded in such a clear, tangible way that I was seen and known and loved, and that this adversity in my life, this identity crisis and this eating disorder and this suicide and all the stigma that came with that and this depression and promiscuity and, you know, darkness, didn't have the power to define my story. The cross did, and what Jesus did on the cross on my behalf did. And, that was a game changer. And, you know, the cry of my heart really moving out of that, out of coming to know Jesus so intimately, so powerfully, so personally, was, God, continue to wreck my life. Do whatever you need to do to wreck through my pride, my arrogance, the lies I've believed, my insecurities, my obsessions, my need for affirmation from men, you know, just continue to wreck through all of these things that are of my flesh or are of brokenness. Just wreck through them. And then restore them as you see fit. Make me look more like you, God. Make me look more like Jesus and my understanding of the plans you have for me and the purpose and all you say about me. So Wreck My Life kind of began as this desperate heart cry and ended up as this praise, really, this form of worship to say, God, continue to do that. If the wreckage you bring, the things you wreck through, break down the darkness within me, then wreck all you need.
Well, it's an extraordinary story, an absolutely extraordinary testimony of Mo Isom, the speaker and blogger. She's an All-American soccer star, and the book is called Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. And we do have multiple copies of this great book. It really is one of those page turners that will keep you coming back for more. If you want to head to our website at myfaithradio.com, just look for On the Road, and you can send us a note right there and say, I want a copy of Mo's book, and we'll put you in the drawing for that. Now, we mentioned it off the top before we dug into the story a little bit, but I can't help but ask you a little bit about one of the most, periods of notoriety that you've had in your life. You've lived a very public life, but when you tried out for LSU's Division I SEC football team, being female, that was pretty unique. Yeah. What led you to that idea, first of all, and take us through what that process was like?
Oh, my goodness. I look back and I'm just sore thinking about it. That was the hardest athletic endeavor I've ever moved through. You know, that attempt to make that football team really grew out of God just challenging me to say yes and to surrender myself. And, you know, you can really dive into the depth of that in the book of what led up to it. But it was something that, you know, I realized student athletes actually had 5 years of eligibility, but only 4 in one sport. And that takes into account if an athlete were to get injured, but I made it through my 4 years of soccer without having to redshirt. And so I had this 5th year of eligibility, and part of me wanted to avoid the real world, and I wanted to just stay in college for a while longer. Part of me loved being an athlete, and part of me just was overcome with this, just really God laying it on my heart of I want you to go about this endeavor to kick. You have the skills. I was recruited for my leg strength with soccer. I mean, I had spent years training with these guys in the same facility. Football and soccer worked out in the same places. They had the respect already of the team, of the coaches. I had great friendships with so many of them. And so when God kind of said football, I kind of said, what? One bad snap and I'm a pancake. You know, I don't know, God, if that's exactly, maybe I'm hearing this wrong and you're saying foosball, like I can play that. But he just kept on. And so I kind of started to explore it, ask around, you know, ask some of the players, what would you think about this? Is this possible? And God just opened door after door after door, and spent 18 months. So this was actually, I sort of got this nudge on my heart before my senior year of soccer even. So I trained through my whole senior year and then an additional half of the year leading up to when I was eligible to try out, when I would be done with soccer and when tryouts would be. So 18 months alongside these guys, essentially on the roster without my name on the roster. I mean, lifting with them, running with them, kicking with them. It was the whole shebang.
Wow.
Just to get a chance to try out. And it, you know, stirred so much national media that you read in the book that I wasn't even expecting, or we actually tried to keep things really private and hidden because I knew this would be a deal, you know, a woman trying to do this on a men's team. But,
yep.
It caught wind and word began to spread, and that was unique navigating through too, because, you know, I wasn't ashamed to proclaim about this Jesus who had saved and changed my life and who was calling me to this really bold endeavor. And apparently a lot of the world doesn't love to hear that so much. That was a unique journey as well. But, I think the most, special part of it all was in the end when, the verdicts came after I tried out, and what the answer was to that and what God began to reveal through that, which I won't give away. You have to buy Wreck My Life to find out what Coach Miles actually said. But it was an incredibly special journey that God revealed so much through every step of faith, of every single time we say yes to him on a day-to-day basis, not knowing what the outcome will be. I mean, he threw me onto a national stage there, an international stage in many ways, people I heard from all across the world, and I didn't know if I would actually make this team or not, which was scary because I'm a control freak. We talked about this. I like control, but it was God really calling me to surrender my control, surrender my pride, and go about a journey without knowing the end result, and just being about his business along the way. And it was amazing to see all that he did in that time, in really big ways and small ways, one-on-one ways. It was cool.
I remember even back at the time hearing you, I think it was on the radio as well, talk about what it was like to hear from so many people, especially young women, who were saying that what you were doing was inspiring them, maybe if it wasn't football, but other things, to just do things and try to do things that they never thought that they could do before. What was it like to be the source of people telling you things like that?
You know, it's kind of surreal because I was just moving through my day to day. I mean, I was just a college student, like in the gym, too many hours to count, you know, out on the soccer field, kicking the football. I mean, just trying to learn this new craft and just kind of keeping my head down and grinding. And to hear, to be, you know, reached out to by more people that I could count, to hear from so many people who this effort was impacting, was incredible, and also an incredible pressure, because suddenly you begin to carry, okay, I have to make this team to prove all the people who believe in it and are being inspired by it, to prove them right, and to prove all these people who are hating on me and tearing me apart and, you know, completely bashing the endeavor. I have to prove them wrong. You know, it's like the competitor in you. It added pressure, but I think there was also this amazing freedom and just understanding that God was using you, using me in an area that I really just enjoyed and loved. And I was loving learning this sport and playing this sport. And, you know, I think it's special because God uses us in incredibly unique ways.
Mo Isom, the speaker, the vlogger, the All-American soccer star and author of Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. You know, through much of your story, you do talk about the hardship and how you felt God knocking at the door of your heart to an extent, but that you took a long time to open the door, as you say. But perhaps what advice would you give to those who are experiencing that today in not responding, or maybe they're not even hearing the knocks?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would just encourage, you know, I feel like I wasted so much time just repressing this tension on my heart. I think the Holy Spirit can place this tension on us sometimes of knowing what's right, knowing what's good, knowing that we're purposed and that we have value, but the voices in our head and the voices in the world and all of these things kind of tell us, no, you're not. You know, and our adversity screams at us, no, you're not. You're defined by this struggle. But there's a Holy Spirit who, this tension on your heart, this awareness of something more, it's not to be missed. Don't waste time trying to rationalize and figure out and finding all the answers. Surrender. Surrender. Scripture says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. I think that sometimes that vulnerability is really hard. To even come to God and say, I need you, is hard. To even come to God and say, I feel this tension on my heart. If it's you, you know, God, reveal yourself to me, wreck my life, do what you need to do so that I know that you're real and that you're good and that you're holy. Those are hard prayers to pray. And they're ones that he answers in really beautiful ways and in crazy ways and in kind of life-changing ways. And I think sometimes we kind of get into the monotony of our life and we don't want anything to shake it up too much. But I would just pray over anyone who feels like there's that tension on their heart to come home to a father who loves them and sees them, that they would know that he's not an angry, vindictive God waiting to punish them brutally, but he's a loving father, like the prodigal son who draws near to us when we draw near to him, who extends forgiveness and grace and love and says, welcome home. Anyone wrestling with that because of their own thoughts, mind, or because of the adversity in their life, I pray that you would just know that you're seen and that you're known. And that God uses all for his glory, every single bit for his glory. You're never too far gone. That they would just take a step of faith and pray, talk to God. That, God, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling, and I need to know that you're real. And I need to know what you would have for me. And then open the word and spend time in prayer and begin looking and listening and seeing how God might be responding to that in your life.
Well, some very wise words, an inspiring story from Mo Isom. The book is called Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold, available wherever fine books are sold, as well as Amazon. And we also will have 5 copies of the book to give away. If you want to head to our website at myfaithradio.com, just look for On the Road, and you can send us a note right there and let us know you'd love to be in the drawing for Mo's book, Wreck My Life. And Mo, another part of what you do that is tremendous is your blogging as well. I've had the chance to read some of your pieces online. If people want to keep up with you there, what's the web address to do that?
Yes, they can just go to moisom.com. It is easy to spell, moisom.com. And that site, like you said, is full of blog posts and writings. It's also full of video clips from my speaking and just some really neat resources. And I'm looking forward soon to sharing other people's testimonies on that site, how God just revealed himself to them as well and wrecked their lives. So it's going to be full of incredible content. And already, like you said, has lots of writing on it. So moisom.com. They can also see all about the book there and what retailers it's available at. And it's just a one-stop shop.
Tremendous. Well, it really has been a joy to have you here today, Mo. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and for sharing your story so boldly.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.